Lord here this morning, and I'll ask the question, how's your night vision? How many here like to drive at night? There's some people that like to drive at night. And I think that I would get a better response if I phrased it differently. How many here prefer not to drive at night? And all of a sudden, you know, why? Because our vision, although at night some may suffer more than others, at night we are in a limited situation. You can't see everything. A week and a half or so ago, I was on my way home from Guadalajara. It had already gotten dark, and we're driving along, and out of nowhere, I see these two eyes looking at me. It was a pretty large dog in the middle of the highway between the airport and Chapala, and you know, you're going along, and there's a car here. I swerved as much as I could because there was a car there, and I couldn't, and probably missed the dog by all of an inch, if anything, because I didn't see him, or her, whatever the dog was. If I had been driving at day, and it was happening, I would have saw this dog moving across the center median. I would have saw, and maybe started to slow down, made some precautionary movements, because something may happen. But as such, I didn't even see the shape of the dog until the eyes all of a sudden lit up, and then I could see the shape of the dog in front of me and swerved at the last possible second. I don't know what ended up happening with the dog, because when a dog's on the highway at night and there were people behind me, people to the right, and all kinds of things, who knows what ended up happening to the dog? Because things like that happen at night when we are just simply not able to observe our surroundings as much as we would like. I remember when we first came to Mexico, or were coming, it was actually in the month of February. And in the month of February, obviously, it gets dark a little bit earlier than it does in the month of June and July. And we had gotten the same advice that probably many of you have gotten in the past as well. Don't drive at night. And so when we were going through the whole process of driving from Arizona into this area here, that meant several nights stopping along the way and getting into a particular city and saying, now let me see, do I have enough time before it gets dark to make it to the next city, and making those sorts of calculations and so forth. And you understand what I'm talking about. But our walk with Jesus, God plans for us to never have to battle the fact that we don't see clearly. He wants us, Jesus wants us, to always see with clarity as in the middle of the day. Does that mean that as Christians we're not going to have the sun set and we're not going to ever see the moon again? Well, in a physical sense, that's not what it means. We're talking about in a spiritual sense, that we walk in the light of the glory of the Lamb of God all of the time. Go with me. This week we finished the books of 1 Thessalonians, also 2 Thessalonians. We're in 1 Timothy in our Bible reading. Encourage you to follow along with us in that Bible reading. If you're not a part of it, sign up. But in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, it says, now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. Now, isn't that interesting? I don't know how many times the Bible mentions that you can't establish a date of the future return of Jesus. And yet, in your lifetime and my lifetime, how many dates have come and gone established by really smart people who love Jesus, as I'm sure, and have studied the scriptures to no end to come up with an established date that shows up that day. And I've joked around, and probably you have as well, that that's probably the one get out of jail free day. If there's a nationally or internationally published date that this is for sure when Jesus is coming, I kind of just feel like that's probably the day he won't. The rest of the time is up for grabs, because he's going to come at the day and hour that you could least expect it. But Paul writes and he says, we don't need to write to you about times and dates. He says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now, when Paul says that he's going to come, Jesus will return like a thief in the night, does that apply to you? Is Jesus going to show up as a thief in the night for you? He goes on and he says, no. That's not going to be the case. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Now, isn't that interesting? In one moment, it's a thief in the night, but for us, the thief that shows up in the day. Did you ever notice that? This is who we are. Our hope is that we are always walking in the light of the gospel. It says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. So our daily life is going to look different, because we aren't these people that are found in the darkness, that are stumbling around, not sure where they're going, if something is going to jump out at them that they weren't prepared for. We are not one of those kinds of people. You in Christ do not need to be the kind of person who tries to plan out whether you're going to make it to the next city or not before the night hits, because your night will never hit. Now, we're talking spiritually, obviously. We're not talking in a physical sense. I still think it's prudent that you understand the risks involved in driving at night. But we are to walk, and let us be always awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died so that whether we live, we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, notice what he says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You know, things at night can surprise you and catch you off guard. And we were talking about that driving at night can be one of those cases. And those who travel at night are going to know that there's inherent risks involved. You know, it's not the lighthouse that makes a big impact on the ship out there at sea during the daytime. Because during the daytime, they look and they can see all of the shoreline. They know where everything is. It's at night when it seems to disappear into the darkness and you're not sure what is actually going on. And that's when they need the lighthouse. They need to be able to understand. And we need to understand that we aren't those people who are dependent upon some external light showing up. Even the light of the sun, day by day, these aren't the things that we need, because as believers, as children of the light, we are walking and living constantly with the light inside of our lives. You know, all the time, from beginning of time, thieves have enjoyed being able to use the night. Because when they go in, they don't want to be seen. You know, some of the things that you can do to protect your home are relatively simple. And they don't cost huge amounts. For example, we were told when we first got married, leave your porch light on. Now, why? Because we expected at 1 o'clock in the morning a visitor to come knocking on our door and say, hello, or a salesman, you know, going door to door at 1 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, why are you leaving the porch light on? You leave lights on around because thieves don't like to roam across lit yards to be able to get into the house. One of the things that I have at my house, and you may have as well, are those dusk to dawn lights. You know, when it gets dark, the light all around the house, you can walk around my house without taking out a flashlight, because that's where all of this is lit, with all of these LED lights outside, and that's the way that it is. You know, another thing that they could say that's a good security feature, if you will, is to have a good lock on your door. or to have a dog behind, or at least what sounds like a dog behind, you know, the audio recording of a dog barking or what have you. There's a lot of things that people suggest that will help in the case of a thief. But most of the problem with break-ins happen at night when thieves can sneak in. And Paul highlights that here that truth will never affect us because we aren't the people who have the darkness inside. We are the people who are constantly with the lights lit. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the what's considered by most a Christmas movie. It's called Home Alone. If you've ever seen the movie Home Alone, when you're going to understand my example here. There's a point in which the little boy is left alone, and there are two thieves that are going to break in and steal everything that's in that house. Now, fortunate for the young boy, the thieves are the dumbest people on the face of the earth, right? Nonetheless, they decide that they are going to steal, and the boy hears that tonight they're going to break in at such and such a time. What does the boy do? The boy is smart enough to set up everything as though there's a party going on inside of the house, right? He has all of the lights on. He has these his toy train carrying along these life figures of some basketball star, you know, I mean, all of this stuff. So it looks like people are moving around, and the thieves are outside saying, "I don't get it. It looked yesterday like it was abandoned, and now there's this party." And what did they decide? They decide, "We'll wait till tomorrow," right? And that's what Paul is really talking about, that we don't have to worry about a life in a situation in which we think the thief is going to break in, because nobody has to worry about the thief coming in when there is a party taking place on the inside. And we, as the body of believers, are involved in, wait for this, a great party. We are partiers. You know, the world has their concept of what a partier is. But we are partiers. We don't sleep. We live constantly in this party because we're not worried about an obstacle or a thief jumping out in the middle of a dark night, because we are fully awake. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, our lives are completely different. The world is out in darkness, and the thief is going to catch them by surprise. But the thief, Jesus, and normally we associate thieves as being something negative, right? But the thief is coming to steal us away. We're going to go to heaven at the moment the thief shows up in this particular case. And so we, as the body of believers, have the thief show up at plain day. We don't have to worry about it being dark out, and we're not prepared unless we're one of those people who live the normal life. What's the normal life? Well, out in the world, you can experience the normal life. All the days of the week, the sun comes up, and then the sun goes down, right? The whole world spends half of their life in the sun, and the other half of their life in the darkness, right? That's just the way that it is. And there are people who have decided to come into church, and they live their life the same way. They have moments where they're in the sun. Oh, it's Sunday. Let's go to church, and we're in the sun. And then there are times when they'll go back into the darkness. Well, those people certainly need to worry, because when you least expect it in the darkness, that's when the thief will show up. But Paul is writing to us, the church, who is passionate about Jesus and wants to serve Jesus with all of our heart. And so what do? We don't have to worry about Jesus' return, because after all, he's going to return in midday, in the middle of the party that we're celebrating in his honor. Could you imagine how wonderful that is? God's plan is that it never gets dark on you or on I as believers. Since the night will never set on a believer, we can walk around with incredible confidence. It's like the difference between driving in the day and driving in the night. Or I could even go a different direction. It's like the confidence of driving in a calm rural area in comparison to driving in downtown Guadalajara. Guadalajara. You maybe understand that phrase a little bit more. We have confidence. If nothing is going, we've gone down this road 1,000 times. We know it like the back of our hand because this is the road that leads us to eternal life. We know that Jesus is coming back. And if I were to ask you about a time and a date, you may say, I don't know the time or the date. But I can say one thing. It's soon. How many understand what I mean when I say that? It's soon. And so we can live with that confidence that Jesus is coming back at any moment. We're not going to be caught by surprise with this. Matter of fact, it's a moment of anticipation because we are living the party right now in anticipation of what is going to happen in the near future. So Paul here in his letter to the Thessalonians, he's writing to encourage the church. He's saying, be of a good courage when it looks like it's getting dark. Dark all around outside, the darkness will not affect you. You don't have to live in fear because you have the Prince of Peace living in your heart. Perfect love casts out all fear. And so we continue to move forward and we don't have to worry about the darkness beginning to fall and say, oh, I hope I make it to the city in time. No, the darkness is never going to fall on us because we are living that life in Him. We live all of the time fully aware that Jesus is coming back at any moment. Imagine if you had in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind, a constant party going on in honor of Jesus' return. And He shows up at it. How many think that would be a great party, you know? That's what Paul is really talking about because we live to glorify Him. We are actively living in the light. And everywhere we go, all of a sudden, the darkness disappears. We shine the light. And you know what? There are people who their deeds are not, they don't appreciate the light. If you show up and you all of a sudden have, instead of you having those dusk to dawn lights, you have those motion activated lights. Those are out there as well, aren't they? And the thief comes in thinking that they have all kinds of protection from the environment around them, and they are walking in the darkness, and all of a sudden, out of nothing, these lights turn on them. You know what they do? They jump. They move away. And that happens sometimes in our world. When we show up, the light comes on. And when we show up, the world doesn't like it. And they're going to be angry. But you know what? Let the world be angry. Those are the two thieves outside Kevin's house, frustrated that they couldn't come in and break in. We are partying on the inside. It's okay that the world gets frustrated at the fact that we know that Jesus is coming back because we are practicing for something. You think that this is a party? Wait until you get to heaven. We are practicing for something. Jesus says it like this when he sends this revelation sent through the Apostle John in the last book of the Bible, here even in the last chapter, the last book of the Bible, and it says in verse 5, there will be no more night. So we're practicing now. It says, they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. You know, I just wonder what the clocks are going to look like. I mean, think about it. You do everything according to the clock. Your stomach doesn't even know it's supposed to be hungry if you didn't look at the clock, right? Everything is done by a clock here in this world that is based on these 24-hour roughly schedule of sunset and sunrise and all of these things that take place, and we mark off the days with a calendar. Now get to a place where you have no sun and it's always day. Now, I know this is going to be hard for some to comprehend because I know when you get into retirement, you count every minute, and every day you wake up and you say, oh, today is, and you have the schedule, right? How many have ever gotten to a place where you forgot what day it was? I knew that would never happen to you, right? Could you imagine what happens there where you're going to reign forever and ever in a place that there is no night. You, who's going to come over and say, hey, what day is this anyway? You know what their answer is going to be? It's the day where we celebrate Jesus. That's what the answer is going to be. Because the day of the week, irrelevant. Just like Paul was saying at the first, when we were reading there in 1 Thessalonians, we don't need to worry about the dates and the times and so forth, because we belong to another group altogether, the eternal group that's celebrating the forever light of the gospel. So Paul instructs his listeners to get dressed. He talks about the breastplate. He talks about the helmet. And in other locations, not just there in 1 Thessalonians, and many of you already know that in the book of Ephesians, there's this long list of the warrior's garb, the armor of God that we put on. And we're prepared and dressed. Now, Jesus will say, you know, if somebody tries to break in and they find somebody stronger than them, there's a problem, right? And that's what we are doing. We are getting ourselves prepared, and we are fully dressed because we know that there's a roaming lion outside. We know that the thief has come with the purpose to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we put on the full armor of God, and we stand our guard in the middle of all circumstances, because for us, every day, it's the day. It's ongoing. It's moment by moment. Jesus says it like this in Luke chapter 12, in verse 35, says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak, when the world is asleep. If Jesus finds us prepared, and imagine actually in the middle of the welcome home party, and Jesus comes in. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Just like Kevin in Home Alone knew the hour when the thieves told everyone that they were going to come in and break in, he was prepared, right? We are called to be prepared, and Jesus has told us when he's coming back. And you say, Pastor, I thought we already established that you can't set a time and a date. I already did tell you the time when he's coming back. Soon. Soon. Right? And so we stay alert at every moment. What the enemy could never break in or surprise is somebody that's fully prepared. Imagine the enemy, the thief that comes in. They come in typically with what in their hand? You say, oh, a gun for sure. No, you know what they have? A little flashlight, because they're going in at night. And here's this enemy, this robber breaks into your house, and all you see is this little beam of light going here and going there. And then the robber hears something. It's the sound of your gun cocking. What do you think the thief says? Oh, that's important. I have a flashlight. You know, the flashlight isn't going to stand up against the gun. It's just not. Not going to happen. And so what Paul tells us is get completely prepared, so that when the thief sneaks in and says, I wonder what I'm going to catch and what I'm going to be able to find in here. I'm going to steal. I'm going to kill. I'm going to destroy this person. And when they sneak in, get past the front door, if they chose to do that much, because after all, it's well lit and there's a party taking place on the inside, they find you fully prepared for battle with the sword drawn and say, what, you have any last words? That's the response that Paul is mentioning, and that's what we need to have in our hearts, that we live constantly prepared for the enemy to come in. Paul here is saying that with all of these things, we can encourage one another. Now, when is that an encouragement, and when is that a frustrating thing? It's a frustration when you are a person who's chosen to live your life normal. And what I mean by normal, 12 hours of day followed by 12 hours of dark. A normal person that has their good moments and their bad moments. A normal person who sleeps at a certain point in a certain time. But if you refuse to be that normal, you know what? I, all of my life, have lived in the state of abnormal. I encourage you to go and move there. It's a great place to live. We are not normal. We are aliens. We are strangers here on this planet. And you say, how? It's because we belong, our citizenship belongs to heaven. And so we can never be normal here on that sense. And we live in the state of abnormal, if you will. We live under the light all of the time. And so for those who are living always in that party, always in the light, Paul's message is one of great encouragement. But for those who say, but I sure wonder, is he coming back because we're going to go into these 12 hours of darkness? Well, I hope Jesus doesn't come back until this, and they live with these sin habits or the old nature still living in them. And that causes fear. And these are the people who say, but I want the date. Tell me the date so that I will know. Paul says, you don't need a date. You need to live like every day is the sun fully shining. The light, as children of the light, we live in that new place. For those who find themselves asleep at times, for those who have night come across their lives, and maybe it's every day, maybe it's once a week, once a month, and you say, oh, I slipped up again. Well, it's time to remind ourselves that Jesus is expecting his church to be awake, to be prepared, because he is coming back soon. We don't live in a dark world. We live in a well-lit, beautiful garden, ready for Jesus to come back. Are you asking, what time is it? Well, you know, it's amazing. Not too long ago, they did a study on cell phones. And did you know that according to the study, the number one use that people have of their cell phone is to tell them what time it is? It's not to make a phone call. You'd think it's to make a phone call, wouldn't you? But it was to tell them what time it is. They just pick it up and say, oh, yeah. And how many times a day do you verify what time it is? Is that still stuck in your mentality that you're supposed to know what time it is? As believers, are you asking what time it is? Well, we don't need, as believers, to ask what time it is. We need to go more along the lines of what season is it? Now, I spent a lot of time, well, I should actually back up. Not a lot of time. I spent some time in the plains of Kansas. And there in Kansas, there are what you might recall and understand as wheat fields. And you ask any farmer what time it is, they could care less. Because they get up before sunrise. They're doing things, and the calendar tells them a little bit of what they're doing. But they go by seasons. There are seasons when it doesn't matter if it's light or darkness, they're going to be out plowing. And when it's harvest time, I will tell you, there is no sleep until the harvest is in. No sleep. You see the combines out there at 1 o'clock in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's 24 hours go until the harvest is in. And that's the mentality that the church has to have. Rather than saying, what time is it? We have to say, what season is it? And I can answer that question. The question, what season is it? It's harvest time. Because Jesus is coming back soon. It's harvest time. Let's be about working in the kingdom. Fully dressed, fully awake, fully prepared. And the enemy will never be able to get in and take advantage of us. Because we're in the middle of a constant party, a constant celebration. And it's the welcome back party that we're throwing for Jesus himself. How many want to throw that party every day in their life? Bow your heads with me, if you will. Lord, we thank you. We, as Paul even states, we are encouraged by this message. By your word that you are coming back soon and that we are children of the light. But Lord, if there be anybody here present or even online watching that lives part of their day worried about the soon coming night and then passes through night in which evil may reign and sin may prop its head up in their lives. Lord, we repent of those evil desires and we ask that you would forgive us and let us be children of the day that live all of the time prepared, celebrating, because we have in you, Jesus, the light of the world. We have in you, Jesus, our hope, our salvation. We have in you, Jesus, everything that we need. So, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. We repent before you. If we were those worried about the darkness, and we say, from this moment forward, we're going to celebrate and we're going to encourage one another with these words as we celebrate your soon return all the way through your coming. And then we're going to do it for an eternity with you in heaven. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.